going to call our brother to come now, Kerry McLeod, if he would come to give the message this morning.
Good morning. You could turn to Proverbs 3. We'll read verses 1 to 12. Proverbs 3, starting at verse 1 down to 12. My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon thy table of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and the presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For in whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. So, when we come to a book like Proverbs, now we must keep in mind that this is a book generally how to live. The book speaks in norms, meaning this is generally what happens. In this situation or that situation, it's a book of wisdom. It gives very short thoughts or precepts that we can apply in our own lives. And when we come to Proverbs, we also have now the advantage of seeing Proverbs through the New Testament. And so what we see here, we see a father's law. And so we see a godly father with his son. You know, the father has rules and laws based on Christian values. So that's how we would see that today. Based on Christian values, this father has rules or laws. And the father seems here to want to be able to pass on the wisdom that he has, the knowledge of how to live life in this world. And in fact, he starts in verse 2 with length of days. For lengths of days. And so, at the root of this, the father has more life experience than the child. And he wants to pass that on. He wants to pass on a good life for his son. And so, we have an example here. We have Jacob. And Jacob, Pharaoh asked Jacob here, he says, how old are you? And Jacob says, well, the years of my pilgrimage are 130. Few and evil have the days of my years of my life been. And so Jacob knows that there's going to be trouble in this life. You know, he's 130 years old. At the end of his life, he says, listen, I have few days here, 130 years, and he considered that few, and I've had trouble. Okay? Now, there is good in this life. But we know that we're going to have trouble also in this life. And so the father knows this. And so the father's desire is that the son will avoid folly, avoid disobedience, you know, avoid all these self-made pits that we make for ourselves, you know, often that we are our own worst enemy. And so the father wants to be able to pass on this wisdom to him. And so he doesn't give exact situations to his son. He doesn't say, do this when this happens. But he gives him a general attitude and courage. Again, it's written as a proverb. And so it's like a code of ethics. He says, live life in this way. In all your dealings, in all your decisions, remember what I tell you today. That's what the father is saying. You got to remember the way you were raised. You know, it's for your good. It's to benefit you. It will serve you well. Live before God and trust him. And so in verse 1, He says, "Son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments." So don't forget my law, son. Don't forget how you were raised. You know, you're raised in a Christian home. Now, if you weren't raised in a Christian home, this still applies to you. You know, we can't change the past, but today we can choose to obey God. And so we choose to apply God's word in our lives. Now, the Father's rules are designed to keep us safe, right? Our fathers, parents have rules to keep our children safe, you know, and that's just like God's moral law. Excuse me, designed to keep us safe. And in Luke 10:27, we see God's moral law broke down just to two laws. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. As your neighbor as yourself as well. And so, and it was funny, we were talking about that in Sunday school, vertical and horizontal. So there is a vertical aspect and a horizontal aspect in this verse. You know, in order to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and strength, you have to love your neighbor. And if you're not loving your neighbor in that horizontal relationship, you are not loving God in that vertical relationship either. And so they're intertwined here. You know, how can we love God who we haven't seen if we're not loving our neighbor? And so the law here is intertwined. And so we put away strife, which leads to murder. We put away coveting, which can lead to adultery. Why? Because God's ways keeps us safe. You know, and that's the same as parental rules are meant to keep us safe. If they're based on God's moral laws. But the Father knows that how easy it can be broken. So we have a tendency to forget the law unless it's in our heart, right? Sin is a matter of the heart. And so he says, "Son, remember to put the law in your heart, but let thy heart keep my commandments." So it's from the heart. The Father is saying you have to do this from the heart. The word of God must penetrate into the essence of a person, right? The word, the law must become sense a part of us, part of our makeup. Otherwise, we will soon forget the Father's instructions, soon forget that it's God's way to live before Him. And length of days. In verse 2, he talks about length of days now. He says, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." You know, there's a secular study out there that says that Christians that attend church will live longer. They say up to 6 years longer on average. So Christians that go to church regularly, now it's a secular study, so they based on people going to church as Christians. And it was over 20 years long, and they said that as much as 6 years longer they will live. And that study was in North America. And so that study then supports God's word here for length of days. Now, this does not mean that Christians will not die at a younger age. Remember that this is a proverb, generally speaking. But look at what kind of life a young man can expect here. Better relationships, right? For long life and peace shall they add to thee. You know, better relationships, more rewarding, you know, prosper and success, not necessarily being rich, but a full life. And because you have this law now in your heart, right, because you're guarding your heart, because you're resisting Satan, mercy and truth here should flow out of this. As we see in verse 3, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thy heart." And so you should live in such a way that kindness and sincereness, have mercy, be kind to even those who don't deserve it. And that's how you should be living. You know, you need to have kindness in your life. You know, you're representing Christ here. Make sure that this is part of your life, you know, again, in your heart, part of your makeup. You know, I thought about those rappers, right? They have the, you know, the guys that sing, the rappers that sing, sorry. I was thinking you were thinking about a rapper on a candy or something. But they have these big chains, right? They walk. I don't know how do they walk like that? I don't know how they walk like that. Anyways, their whole makeup is changed because the music is in them, right? And so that has how we should be living. We should have this mercy and truth hanging about our neck, you know, always at a moment's notice. It's right there. It's hanging about us. This is how we live. This is just part of us, mercy and truth. And so it should be the same with the Son, right? People should see their conduct, your conduct, and recognize loving kindness and truth, right? Show off the integrity that God has given you. You know, move into obedience in God's way of living. It's not every man for himself. That's not God's way, you know. But show that Jesus is in our lives. Do what is right. You know, the opposite of Cain. Oh, sorry, that's the wrong verse. That one there. And so the opposite of Cain here. He says unto Cain, art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou dost well, shall thou not be accepted? You know, won't you be accepted if you do things God's way? Won't you be accepted? And so the Father here is calling the Son to live the opposite way as what Cain has done. And so far now, it seems pretty good, right? This seems pretty positive, this Proverbs here. You know, but does it fit in the reality of a Christian life? You know, what about suffering? What about persecution? You know, in North America, we haven't really suffered heavy-duty persecution, which is not the norm of the Bible, by the way, what has happened in the last 100, 150 years in North America. It's not the norm of the Bible. And so the Father is saying this, but the Son might be thinking, the Father doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, that's a possibility. He goes, doesn't my Father know that I grew up around him and I've seen him suffer? You know? And what about the story of Joseph? We read about a little bit about Joseph. What about his suffering? You know? Was it not the desire of Joseph to please or be obedient to his father that led him into a dangerous place? This is when Israel said to Joseph, your brothers are out there. Can you go check up on them? And what does he say? He says, and he said unto him, here I am. Here I am. Joseph didn't say, can't someone else do it? You know, well, he was the only one left at home, but, you know, couldn't you find someone else? You know, here I am. And so he's right away, he's obedient, right? He wanted to please his father. And so here he is, wanting to please his father, and he ends up in a dangerous place. You know, that act of obedience led to great sufferings for Joseph, both physical and emotional. You know, do you think Joseph ever thought, if only I didn't check up on my brothers, you know, if only I convinced my dad to send a servant, anyone but me? You know, do you think he ever said to himself, why am I going through this? What did I do wrong? You know, well, Joseph had a relationship with God, you know, and they said when they seen him coming, they said, here comes that dreamer. Come now, let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast has devoured him. And we will see what becomes of his dreams. Here comes the dreamer. You are the dreamer. God had singled out Joseph. And his brothers desire to get rid of that in-your-face dreamer. Because of the dreams, he hated Joseph, right? The dream was clear. They even knew that it sounded like that someday they would bow before Joseph, right? Do you remember the story, you know, of what he said? And they said to him, "What are you saying that we're going to bow before you someday?" Right? They didn't like that. And so they were against God. They were against God's prophecy. They despised prophecy. And so we know that cooler heads did prevail, right? They ended up sparing Joseph's life, and instead they sold him into slavery. And they made him to be dead. They lied to their father and broke an old man's heart. And there we see a contrast. It was the exact opposite here of wearing mercy and a truth necklace. They had no mercy, they had no truth for Joseph, and they instead chose a life of guilt. You know, so even though Joseph was aiming to live life before God, to be obedient, he still suffered. He still ended up suffering. So in Proverbs, in the fourth verse of Proverbs, it says, "So thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." You know, the father here in Proverbs is not done. He goes, "You will find favor and understanding or success or wisdom or discerning." Praise a man is one thing, but to have favor from God, right? Can it get any better to have favor from God? Who in their right mind would not want favor from God, from the Lord God Almighty? "And so, son," he says, "if you live in this manner, you possess mercy and truth." Mercy and truth is a part of you. And not only will man notice, but God will take notice. You know, I worked for a man once, and he told me that he's had, in the past, he was in a position of, he had a lot of authority in the company, and he would hire people. And he said that he would rather hire Christians than non-Christians. And he said because he recognized the integrity, and they wouldn't lie. And so he recognized that, and he was not a Christian at the time. It sounds like he's a Christian now, but he wasn't a Christian at the time, and he said that he would recognize the integrity in a Christian. And so he would rather hire them. And look how this affected Joseph, right? Joseph was sold then into an officer of Pharaoh. His name was Potiphar. And we're told that the Lord was with him and Joseph had prospered. And Potiphar took notice of that. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in the sight and served him. And so we see that Joseph ends up being the overseer of the entire house. The entire house here, he ended up being an overseer. And so at that time, life got a little bit better for Joseph. You know, everything he put his hands to was successful. He experienced the grace of God. God had blessed everything he did. And so much so that Potiphar recognized that God himself was with him. And so Joseph found favor in his master's eyes. And he was promoted to the highest possible position he could in that household. And Joseph ended up running the household. Joseph was in charge, and Potiphar enjoyed the blessings from God because Joseph was the overseer of his house. And in the fifth verse of Proverbs, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on thine own understanding." You know, the father has experience. He knows that there's going to be trials in life. He knows that we'll be shaking our heads some days and just thinking, what is going on? You know, things will be so far out of our control, out of our hands, and we might even question God's wisdom with what is going on in our life. You know, questioning if God realizes just what we're going through. You know, there might be times that we pray and pray and pray, you know, and we're not getting the answer that we desire. Times that we want to give up in despair. Well, you don't have to tell Joseph about that, right? Joseph was very familiar with suffering, very familiar with it. He was well acquainted. Things looked terrible. First, he shares his faith with the brothers. He's obedient to his father. He's thrown into a pit, almost killed, sold into slavery, yet he still trusted in God. You know, and his next trial now is temptation. Here he's in charge of his master's house, and his master's wife starts chasing after him. But he refused her. You know, but he refused, and he said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wanted nothing what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There was none greater in his house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" You know what? Why did he refuse her? Because he would not sin against God. He trusted God, right? He refused to be involved in such wickedness. But where did that get him? You know, Potiphar's wife accused him of rape. She lied. And where did that get him? Well, he ended up in jail. And so now he's in jail. You know, his life is not going the way he thought it was going to go. You know, he dreamt those dreams, and he's probably thinking, well, what is going on here? You know, his life is not going anywhere where he thought it was going. Nothing that he expected is happening. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed mercy and gave him favor again in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did, he was a doer of it. And so now, again, here he is in jail, you know, but the Lord was with him. And it's because the Lord is with us that we can trust him. Because he promised not to leave us or forsake us, we too can trust him. And so Joseph ends up running the prison. Right, he ends up running the prison. The man that is in charge of the prison had no worries at all because everything that Joseph was doing here ended up being prosperous. And so there is a point of troubles in this life, right? Jesus told us that we are going to have trouble, right? Brother against brother, children against parents, parents against children, because of the faith in Jesus Christ. And so we know that we're going to have troubles like that. But more importantly is through the trials and temptation, we continue to trust in God. In the good times and the bad times, we continue to trust the Lord. And so I imagine that Joseph had examined his heart, you know, to see if he did something wrong to deserve that. You know, and that is one thing. But did he try and figure out what God was doing? You know, you ever tried to do that? Figure out what God's doing? That drive you crazy? Right? He moves past that, and what does he do? He simply leaves it in God's hands and he trusts him. You know, we can't rely on our own understanding. You know why? Because we don't know what God is doing. You know, we know that he loves us. We know that he's unwilling that any should perish, but all should come to the knowledge of repentance. You know, there are some things we know, but how God is going to all work that out and work everything out for our good, we don't know how he's going to do that. Even if we didn't realize that that was the best thing for us at our time, it's for our good. Sometimes we get to see afterwards, oh yeah, and you look back and say, yeah, now I know why I went through that. That was for our good. If I didn't go through that troubling time, it wouldn't be helping me out right now. And so sometimes we get to see that, you know, sometimes we get to see that it is for our good. And Proverbs 6 and 7 here, it says, "And in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes." And a lot of times we just leave it there. But the next one is, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Do you have a relationship with the Lord? You know, are you bringing all matters before the Lord? Are you searching the scriptures to know what the Lord how the Lord wants us to behave? You know, are you allowing God's word to change you? Are you moving towards his precepts? Are we applying the word of God to our lives to know how to live? You know, there's a lot of decisions in this life to make. There's a lot of decisions to make that we're not told directly in God's word. You know, we can draw conclusions, application in God's word, but we're not told what job we should take. We're not told who to marry. We're not told what college we should go to. We're not told what course we should do. You know, but through God's word, we can examine our motives, right? We make sure our motives are right before God, right? Fear the Lord. Don't justify our sin. We need to make sure and check our motives are right before God. But God has made us to be able to make decisions. And sometimes we wish that God would just tell us what to do. And so we pray, we ask for directions. We ask God what we should do. And I found this out as a young Christian. Somehow I convinced my wife that we should build a house that we couldn't afford and put it on the market and sell it. And there was some lots that the bank had repossessed and they were selling at a good price. And so we were praying about it. And that week I ended up working for a civil engineer who was involved in that subdivision. And the lot we were looking at, we would have went bankrupt. Because he told us which lot was the best one to build. There was one lot that you had to dig 24 feet deep before you got to virgin soil. And you have to build on virgin soil. And so we ended up buying the one that civil engineer had directed us to. You know, and I was amazed because I put it before the Lord. And he directed us to the civil engineer. And lo and behold, you know, everything the civil engineer said was right. And so there were trials, though, when we did it. You know, eventually it sold. It was on the market for a while. Eventually it sold. And then other times, probably everyone in this room can say that God has closed doors on our plans. You know, do we understand why? Usually not. Are we tempted to plow ahead and do it anyways? Yes, we could be tempted to do that. You know. But does getting our own way cause us to sin? Here it says, fear the Lord, depart from evil. Don't justify your sin. Don't sin and have some kind of pre-formulated excuse to justify what you're about to do. You know, sometimes we can convince ourselves, we can talk ourselves into a lot of things. You know, but don't allow that. You know, trust in the Lord. Don't allow that to cause us to sin. So we trust, acknowledge, and be led and not to sin. So if we acknowledge God in our decisions, does not automatically mean that nothing will go wrong. You know, we are to trust that God knows what he's doing and he'll turn everything to our good. However, God dictates that good in our life at that time. You know, God knows what the good will look like. It may not be the good that we're expecting, but he will direct our paths. So again, in living this healthy way, he says if we live this way, we have godly instructions in our heart. We'll deal with people kindly and with mercy, displaying the love of God to them. We'll have favor from man and favor from God. If we trust God in the difficult times, if we include God in our lives, if we seek his directions, his guidance, if we live our lives like that, it will be like an umbilical cord, giving us all the nutrition we need. We'll be like we're connected to heaven. Look in verse 8. He says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And so as a woman is pregnant. She's feeding the child through the navel. And this is what it's like. We're connected to heaven. And marrow to the bones. I asked Sherry because she has a medical background. And she says in the marrow, that's where new blood cells are created. And so the new blood cells, and life is in the blood. I think in the blood cell, every 120 days, you get new blood cells. And so this is what it's like. We will constantly be regenerated with new blood cells, right? If we're living in a way that trusts the Lord, living in the way that this Father is instructing His Son, that's what it's like. You know, we'll be renewed. We'll be spiritually fit. And so in verses 9 and 10, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, I've seen those two verses, and it made me nervous. You know why? Because of the prosperity gospel. You know, the prosperity gospel has taken such a hold in our generation that now we look at this, I look at it, and I back up. You know, how do I deal with this? You know, and so, well, what do we do with a passage like this? Look at Deuteronomy 8:17. And now say in thy heart, my power and my might, and my might hand, might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. So that's the temptation, right? Look at what I did. Look at everything I did. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore unto thy fathers, as it is in this day. And so who is it that blesses us? Who is it that gives us abilities? Who is it that gives us gifts? Who is it that gives us callings? You know, in life, it's the Lord God. You know, everything comes from Him. And so if we remember that it is God that gives the blessings, then honor Him with your first fruits. You know, give Him your best. You cannot outgive God. It is impossible to give God more than He gives you. He's lending this to you right now. He owns everything. He's lending it to you. And so now if you're giving to become rich, well, God knows your heart. You know, and that's another sermon right there. If you're giving to be rich, God knows your heart. You know. And so the New Testament sheds a little bit of light on that. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. That is where the Christian life should be heading. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So no matter what, where we are in life, wherever we are in the social ladder, whatever it is, you know, whatever status we are, it's contentment with what God has given us. And so we give back to God. And so for we brought nothing in this world, and we certain we carry nothing out. Didn't have anything to offer the world when you came here. And you're not going to bring anything you gained when you go out. And so that's how the New Testament views that. And so in verses 11 and 12, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He corrects, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth. And so there will be times that we fall short of God's glory. And there will be times when God deals with us. You know, there will be times when God will correct your ways. But here we're to stay under the chastening. You know, chastening is usually brief. And so we're called to stay under it. God is acting in love, even though it doesn't seem like it at the time. It may not seem like it. But quite often, we may have an idea that it's chastening. Quite often we might think, well, maybe it's because I did this or that. Remember Joseph's brother's reaction when Joseph seemed to be playing games with them. No, Joseph was putting the stuff back in, all the money back, you know, accusing of being spies, and it's like, what is he doing? You know, but we look at it now and say, wow, look at what the Holy Spirit was doing, you know, chasing them, causing all these other things, all to bring them to repentance. You know, that's what he was doing. The Spirit of God was moving to bring them to repentance. And this is what they said. We read that. And they said one to another, we are very guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. They knew why all of that was happening. It was the Lord correcting them. They didn't know God was leading them to repentance in this. They didn't know that God had a plan, right, to save Israel, to keep them safe through all of this. At the time, they didn't know that, but that's what God was doing. He was moving in their hearts to bring them to repentance. And so I can't help but be impressed with Joseph. Did he suffer? Oh yeah, he suffered. Did the suffering affect him? Oh yeah. You know, he actually named two of his kids after the suffering that he went through. Every time he called them, he reminded himself of the suffering that he went through. And so yes, the suffering does affect him. And the suffering can affect us. But I know it sounds strange there, but are you proud of Joseph? Does the life of Joseph inspire you to suffer? Do you ever think, would I be able to suffer the way Joseph did for the sake of Christ? You know, when the apostles suffered at the beginning in Acts, they glorified God because they were worthy to suffer for Christ. They were worthy. They said, wow, we're able to suffer for Christ. We're worthy to suffer with him. And so it's like backwards thinking. We see this picture and I'm inspired. It makes me wonder if I'd be faithful to our Savior. You know, would I suffer for Christ as well? Now, isn't Jesus worth it? Knowing him, isn't it worth it to suffer for him? You know, how about you? Do you know what it means to desire to serve Christ? You know, even though there's going to be suffering, God is faithful. You know, he was faithful to Joseph. He's faithful to us. He never lets us down. And this good life has one ingredient. You cannot have this good life without Christ. You know, he is the one. He came to save sinners, to give us life, and that life more abundantly. And so that's what he says here. Sons, daughters, adults, anyone at any age, right? Will you follow Christ? Will you follow Christ? He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. Did Joseph love his life? Or did Joseph lose his life? You know, there's life. Only life is found in Jesus Christ. And so the Father here is saying, remember Christ. Follow him. Wear him. Put him over your neck. You know, trust the Lord. Is there going to be suffering? Definitely. Are you going to fail? Definitely. But through all this, you need to trust the Lord. He is in control. So we'll leave it at that. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the life of Joseph, Father. We thank you that we see that you are at work, Father, and how you save the nation. Father, help us to remember, Lord God, as we go through suffering, help us to acknowledge you, help us to Help us to know how to respond. Help us to stay under it, Father. Help us that in the good times and the bad times, just to trust in you, Father. We do thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen.